Well, good morning, Conquerors Class. This is Brother Ray Shutt. I want to say thank you for joining us again today for this Sunday School lesson from our Conqueror Sunday School class online. This is week number 12 in our series of Zealous for the Truth. And today's lesson will be entitled Irrational Beasts. Irrational Beasts. We'll be looking at the book of Jude, verses 10 through 16 this morning. And I hope that you'll get your Bible and turn there with us this morning. If you're able to pull up the PDF lesson outline on our webpage, you can do that and print it out. You can follow along with us today with the lesson as we continue in this Zealous for the Truth series. Let me take just a moment this morning to remind you also, we have 7 tickets left for our Conquerors Christmas Banquet coming up on December the 17th there at Hickory Bridge Farms. If you're interested in that, you need to go online today. This week will be the last week that we will be selling the tickets, and we just want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to get one that wants to be able to come on Monday night, December the 7th, 2020 at Hickory Bridge Farms in Ortana, Pennsylvania. I want to say thank you also for those of you that continue each week to pray for the lessons as we teach these lessons. I want the lessons to be a help and a blessing to you. And this series on Zealous for the Truth, my goodness, what a series of lessons we need as we look at our upcoming elections this next week. I want you to pray, seriously pray for our country, that God will continue to give us truth and help us to vote for that which is righteous, that which is right in the eyes of God, and that God will bring this election about for His honor and for His glory, and that you and I as Christians might be willing to tell others about the Savior while we still have the opportunity to do so. Today's lesson begins in Jude verses 10 through 16. And I want to ask you this simple question today. Why do people resist and even reject truth? Why do people resist and even reject truth? Jude writes here in verse number 10, this is our lesson theme verse. He's speaking of these false teachers that had arisen in his day and that we certainly have in our day today. And he said this of those folks. He said, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why do people resist and even reject the truth? Last week we studied about contending for the faith, and we learned how that the devil has a lot of pretenders out there who are seemingly replacing godly contenders. Many people today are willing to follow the pretenders simply because being a contender means that you may have to take a personal stand on some things. And sadly, in today's world, as it was even in Jude's day, people do not like truth. Now, in the lesson today, Jude explains why false teachers refuse to accept truth. Those of us who are born-again believers, we need to know and we need to understand exactly why false teachers think and act the way that they do. We need to understand that because their false teachings and their reluctance to accept the truth of the Word of God is a real threat to Bible-believing Christians. Oftentimes, people resist and even reject the truth simply because it is not convenient for them to accept it. Let me explain it this way. If I learn that I have a problem and someone brings that fact to my attention, then I've got to be willing to humble myself and admit the fact that I do indeed have a problem. Now, if I resist the truth or even reject the truth that I have a problem, I am allowing my own selfish pride to cloud my judgment and of the things that could become a deterrent or a detriment to my life and of my own well-being. Pride so often works this way in a person's life, and the results, folks, can be catastrophic. Many times, especially in today's world, we see how that people who resist truth and who actually reject the truth the fact of truth, are usually very outspoken. They're very offensive, and they are very, very intolerant of anyone who has truth and of anyone who questions their concept of truth. For instance, one of the big issues of our day today, which sadly seems to literally bombard us on every hand, is this issue of compliance with and our acceptance of sodomite unions, which in the politically correct world is now commonly called gay marriage. And the issue at hand is whether it is now to be considered right or is it to be considered wrong in our world. The claim today is that it is simply an alternate lifestyle, which is completely normal, and it should be accepted by everyone and anyone who has questions about it. And anyone who doesn't accept it is simply narrow-minded, and they are filled with bigotry and hatred. Well, you know, that's a big statement. And my simple question to those who proclaim that the homosexual lifestyle is indeed normal and should be accepted by everyone today is simply this. How did you get into this world? I mean, really, think about this fact for just a moment. Did two men or even two women who supposedly love one another one day come together in the act of marriage and conceive a child between them? Or did it actually take a man and a woman to come together in the act of marriage to produce a child, like you? If the homosexual and lesbian lifestyles are indeed normal and to be even considered as natural, can you show me just one instance throughout the annals of time, throughout the moments of history where two men or two women ever naturally came together without any help whatsoever from the opposite sex or from some medical devices today so as to produce offspring and to protect the human race from becoming extinct? Folks, the fact is, there is no such record in all the world of any such event. And I wonder why. Well, now, imagine with me for just a few moments in your mind this scenario. There's an island full of 25 to 35-year-old males who honestly believe that homosexuality is a natural lifestyle. And they have been placed on that island by themselves without one single woman being there among them so that they might live their lifestyle the way that they want to live it and just do whatever they want to do. They've been given anything and everything they need to survive on that island except for a single woman. Now let me ask you this one simple question, folks. In 50 years, how many more people do you expect to be living on that island? I'll be honest with you. I'd estimate that there'd be very few men, if any, still living and remaining on that island after 50 years. But you may say, but why do you say that, preacher? Let me tell you. Because the truth is, sodomy, homosexuality, is not a natural lifestyle. It is a perverted lifestyle that produces only death and destruction. And in this particular hypothetical illustration, it would only result in extinction of all human life upon that particular island. And you know, it would be the same result if it were an island full of women who claimed that they were born as lesbians. Peradventure, they had not, first of all, surrendered themselves to some man or some artificial insemination process before they came to that island. So why can't people understand and accept the truth that this lifestyle is not natural, but it is, in the eyes of holy God, an abomination? It's sinful, it's perversion, and it is in no wise a normal lifestyle. Why can't people today understand the truth that drunkenness is not a disease, but rather it is a sin? Why can't people understand the truth that if a man is able, but he refuses to work and provide for his family, according to God's word, that man should go hungry? Why can't sinful men understand the fact today that if they don't like God's word and what it says, that the answer is not to simply change God's Word so that it suits them, but rather that they allow God's Word to change them so that they are made suitable unto God by God. You see, the devil has really messed up our world's way of thinking today. And concerning truth, boy, he has really messed things up, has he not? And in our lesson today, Jude explains exactly why these false teachers choose not to accept God's truth. And then Jude exposes their spiritual inability to understand the truth, and that being because they themselves do not know God, and they are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and thereby they cannot know truth. And as we go through this lesson, I also want us to see how that Jude goes on to explain to every born-again child of God how that association, our association with and acceptance of these false teachers and their doctrine is indeed a threat to the spiritual growth and discernment of every born-again believer. And further, we're going to see in this lesson, and we're going to come to understand how that in this wicked and sinful world that already wants to do away with any and all biblical truth, as well as with anybody who boldly stands and says they're saved, the true child of God needs to be on the lookout for these ravenous wolves who so boldly walk among us in our churches today in the sheep's clothing of religion and ecumenicalism. And they walk around with a smile on their face. They come into our churches and proclaim how that we all need to simply coexist and get along together and all be friends. Folks, the truth is you cannot be a friend of the world while being a friend of God at the same time. Have we forgotten the words written by James over in James chapter 4, verse 4, which asks, "Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Have we forgotten the exhortation given unto us by the Apostle Paul found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, which says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Folks, I do not want to become at enmity with God. Do you? I do not want to be considered an enemy of God. Do you? But that is exactly what many folks are doing today when they compromise the Word of God and they trade in biblical principles and standards for worldly principles and standards simply to coexist and to get along together. Folks, God's judgment is sure to fall upon all those who, even as irrational beasts, change the truth of God's Word into a lie and who worship the creature more than the Creator and who, as our lesson theme verse reminds us, speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. My goodness, what a lesson this is going to be. So I want us to look today at this lesson from the book of Jude, found in verses 10 through 16, and the lesson is entitled, Irrational Beasts. Now as we begin our lesson today, I want us to begin here in Jude verses 10 and 11, understanding the truth. What is truth? The Bible said here in Jude verses 10 and 11, speaking of these false teachers, Jude writes here, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. The Bible here reminds us, as children of God, of some very important things that we also see found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Let me read those verses to you here just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, folks, when you look at these facts, coupled here with what Jude is teaching us in verses 10 and 11, we understand that false teachers are, number one, A, they are destitute of spiritual perception. Look here again at verse number 10. Jude, verse number 10. Speaking again of these false teachers, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. What is Jude saying? He's telling us here that their total wellspring of apostasy is found in the total lack of their spiritual understanding. Through their own natural senses, they blaspheme those things of God which they cannot perceive, and they refuse to understand. Jude says here that they are even as brute beasts. What does that mean? They're wild. They're untamable. They're out of control in all that they do. So what do those people do? Well, Jude explains here in verse 10. He said, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Now, what does that mean, preacher? Well, let me tell you. It means that they throw out what they do not understand or readily accept, and they speak evil of anybody else who does not accept their version of the truth. Man, are we not seeing that in our day today, socially, politically, in every aspect of life? Listen, they speak evil of Bible doctrines. They speak evil of biblical admonitions and warnings that are offensive to them and to their sin. And the more they speak this way, the easier it becomes for them to speak abusively against anyone who continues to stand for the truths of the Word of God. And while these false teachers claim to have superior knowledge and intellect of the Scriptures, it's sad to see that they are, in fact, ignorant of the very fundamental and foundational truths of the Word of God. Again, Jude describes them here as brute beasts. Through pride and through arrogance, they sit in judgment of God's Word in a fashion similar to the atheist fool who claims that God does not exist. In other words, they claim Christianity, but in their teachings and in their practical living, they exhibit pagan atheism. And as Jude says later here in the last part of verse number 10, in those things they corrupt themselves. Isn't that sad? You see, the real issue is here is not simply the recognition of truth, but more importantly, it is the acceptance or rejection of truth. The devil does not care, folks, if you recognize truth. He simply does all he can do to cause you not to accept truth. The Bible explains this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, stating, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Folks, the devil does all he can do to blind folks from accepting the truth of the Word of God. A person may recognize and even understand that God loves them and wants them to go to heaven when they die. But the devil will do all that he can do to cause them to not accept that truth today. A person may recognize that they are indeed a sinner, but the devil will cause them not to accept the truth that their sin has separated them from a holy and righteous God, and the devil will cause them to think that somehow they can still make it to heaven without accepting Jesus as their own personal Savior. But then I want you to see here in verse number 11, where Jude shows us the counts of indictments against these false teachers. Jude lists a lot of indictments against these false teachers, and he begins here in verse number 11 by stating, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." You know, Jesus pronounced woe unto the scribes and Pharisees over in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, where he said unto them, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." But why would Jude pronounce woe upon these false teachers? Well, the answer is so clearly seen right here in verse number 11. Look at it with me. Jude said, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Now, you remember who Cain is. He was the firstborn son of Adam and Eve. He and his brother Abel lived there. They're the first two children born that we have record of in the Word of God. And these false teachers were given to manufacturing their own religion, even as did Cain there in the book of Genesis. Like Cain, they devised their own way of worship in defiance and disobedience to God's Word. They chose to take upon themselves, as it were, what areas of life they would obey God in and what areas of life they would choose to disobey God in. They, through their disobedience to God's Word, denied God's standard, and they chose to make up their own standards for standing righteous before God, just as Cain did in the book of Genesis. And being so upset that God would not accept his sacrifice, Cain took it out on his own brother Abel, who chose to accept and obey God's Word and God's standard, and Cain killed his own brother. Cain then defied God for his judgment on his sin, and also defied all those around him who said anything against what he had done. And in so doing, the Bible tells us over in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 16, that Cain chose, and he went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. He chose to go into that land of Nod, and that land of Nod here refers to the land of vagabonds, that land of castaways, thus fulfilling the words of judgment spoken of God against Cain for his rebellious actions. Cain chose to become a vagabond. He didn't have to, but he chose to be such when he chose to rebel against God and His holy Word. This is why Jude says in verse number 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." But look at what else he said. He said, "And they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." These false teachers were promoting their false teachings and religious acts for greed and filthy lucre's sake, just as people do in our religious world today. They do it for the sake of money. They do it for the sake of fame and fortune and a big name in the religious world. This is the same thing that Balaam did back in the book of Numbers, chapter 25. And he caused Israel to fall into sin when they chose to follow after Balaam's false doctrine. Then Jude says again, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." Here we see that rejection of truth sparks rebellion against God, even as it did back in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, with Korah, who spoke evil against God's men, Moses and Aaron. As you'll remember, God judged Korah and his family and all those men who followed after his rejection of the truth. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 16, verses 32 and 33, that the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Folks, one day the Lord will respond to those who now continue to reject and to mock the truth of God's Word. And God is going to respond to those folks who continue now to cause others to fall into sin. Oh, what a sad day that's going to be for these false teachers. But then I want you to see here in Jude, verses 12 through 16, I want you to see not only the problem that lost people have and how they're deceiving people, but I want you to see the hazard to Christians. As Cain was to Abel, so false teachers and rejectors of truth are to Christians today. Look at what Jude writes here in Jude verse number 12. These, speaking of those false teachers, these are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And then look at what he writes and how he goes on to describe them here in verse 13 as raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Jude here gives quite a descriptive picture of these folks in verses 12 and 13. And look what he said. He describes these false teachers as spots in the feasts of charity by these Christians. These feasts were gatherings where Christians ate and they enjoyed fellowship. They shared their praises for God's goodness as well as their burdens and prayer requests with one another. These false teachers were a real danger to that fellowship of those early church Christians in that they spotted their feasts of charity with hypocrisy. And they caused true believers to be confused about doctrinal issues. And while they professed to love God, they in all actuality mocked what Jesus came to do. And they showed no fear whatsoever of God in their actions. These are spots in your feasts of charity, Jude writes, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. And then Jude also describes these false teachers as clouds without water, carried about of winds. They appear helpful, but in truth, they yield no spiritual help, growth, or anything to those who really need it. They're spiritually unstable, carried about of winds, and always changing. These false teachers are also like trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Folks, they're like the Bradford pear trees of our days. Oh, those Bradford pear trees, they look good and they seem to grow quickly. They stand out and they seem to really flourish with their big, bright branches. They give lots of shade and they seem to provide a lot of space for ease and contentment under their leaves. But they yield no fruit whatsoever. And their limbs are fragile and they break off easily under the least bit of stress. Their roots are not very deep. Therefore, when the storms come, they're uprooted quickly. And pretty soon, you just have to cut the whole tree down. Folks, without the root of the Lord Jesus, there can be no fruit. And then Jude says these false teachers are like raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. These raging waves, they stirred up the dirt and the trash in the water, and they produce that filthy scum and that foam that so often is seen on the seashores when the tide backs off and recedes. As these raging waves serve only to generate dirt and scum, so false teachers and their doctrine serve only to generate those things which cause doubt and confusion in the hearts and the minds of those believers in our world today. They contribute nothing to the spiritual welfare of others. And then look at it. Jude finally says here of these apostate teachers that they were like wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You know, normally stars are used for guidance and for navigational purposes. These type stars are unstable, and they're always changing their courses, which causes them to essentially be useless to those needing a true direction and stable guidance. These stars are lost in the darkness of space forever, depicting the type of judgment reserved by God for these ungodly teachers. And then, in verses 14 and 15, Jude gives a prophecy of judgment against these false teachers. Look at what he said. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. In verse 14, we see Enoch's pre-flood prophecy foretold the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ with an untold number of his saints. And while Moses did not make record of this in his writings of Enoch, the Bible records all throughout its pages that Jesus will one day return with glory and honor and judge those who have mocked and made light of the truth of the Word of God. Even as seen here in verse 15 where Jude writes, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You think that Jude sees these folks as ungodly? I believe he does. And he says here that God will indeed judge those ungodly false teachers and those ungodly false prophets for not only their ungodly teaching, but also for their ungodly deeds and their ungodly speeches against the Lord God and against His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, even again as we read here in verse number 15. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, we are reminded of something, folks, that the world has forgotten. There the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then, in verse number 16, we see Jude's denunciation against those murmurers and complainers of his day. Now, speaking again of these same false teachers, Jude writes here in verse number 16, These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now notice here how Jude describes these false teachers. He describes them as murmurers, as complainers, walking after their own lusts, speaking great swelling words as they mock and make fun of God's holy word. They use deceptive flattery, having men's persons in admiration for their own advantages and their own selfish gain. Does this not describe how the Apostle Paul said it would be in the last days before the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, even as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9? Listen to what the Bible said. Paul wrote here, he said, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And as our lesson theme verse found in Jude verse 10 reminds us, these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Oh, what a sad picture of these irrational beasts. Now, as we conclude this lesson, I want to remind you that Jude here is trying to help both the readers of his day as well as the readers of our day to understand the reason that false teachers reject truth and continue in their ungodly ways. Listen, folks, let me tell you the reason. It's because they're not saved, and because they're only interested in their own selfish gain. Oh, how sad that Satan has so blinded and deceived folks into believing his lies over the truth of God's holy word. How sad it is that men would choose to so reject truth and would be so willing to follow after the lies of Satan. And in so doing, they would choose to even deceive others for their own gain. But you know what's even sadder yet? Is the fact that many folks who call themselves Christians, who are not fully grounded in the Word of God, are also deceived by the same lies of these false teachers. Oh, dear Conqueror's Class, please, may we never fall into the trap of replacing the truth of God's Word with the mere thoughts and opinions of religious mortal men. As Jude has taught us, we need to be aware of why false teachers do what they do. They have rejected truth, and therefore they have refused to accept the Word of God as their standard for living because they are not saved. And folks, these false teachers are dangerous, both to those who are saved and to those who are unsaved, because number one, they themselves are not saved, and number two, their only intent is to promote themselves as authorities above both God and His Word. Oh, that we as truly born-again, Spirit-filled Christians would determine today not only to know Christ and to keep His Word, but to mark those teachers of false doctrine and avoid them at all costs. Child of God, make up your mind today to get into the Word of God and to actually know the Bible and its author, so that then the Bible and its author might better know you. As born-again children of God, as Christians, we need to stand up for that which we know to be true and to be righteous. And we need to be aware of false teachers and of their plans to deceive others even while they also are being deceived themselves. That's why I would say unto you, as you go and vote, vote biblically. Vote for righteousness. Listen, folks, you need to vote against sin. Don't let the scoffers and false teachers of this present day cause you to turn away from serving God and from living godly in a godless world. Let these things provoke you, dear child of God, to live righteously, to live wholly unto the Lord. Stand for truth and continue to stand earnestly and contend for the faith through which God has saved you and truly made you to be His dear child. Stay faithful to the truth of the Word of God. And then maybe there's someone listening to the sound of my voice this morning that you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've been deceived by Satan into thinking that somehow, some way, you're going to make it into heaven, and you don't need to come through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. My friend, Satan has deceived you, and there's only one way. Jesus said, there's only one way into heaven. You must be born again. And my friend, I don't want to see you die and perish in an everlasting flame of fire called hell, separated from God forever because of your sin. God loves you today, and God wants to save you. Will you be willing to recognize the fact that you are a sinner and be willing to come unto God and tell Him today, dear God, I do believe what the Bible says, that You love me and that You sent Your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross to pay the debt for my sin, and that He was buried for me, and that He arose again to give me eternal, everlasting life. My friend, the Bible said that whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to fall upon your knees today and call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him to save you. Because the Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, don't turn away this day of salvation that God has laid before you. Call on the Lord and ask Him to save you today before it is eternally too late. Dear Lord, God, we love You today. And I thank You for the opportunity to teach this lesson. And Lord, I pray that You'll not only speak to those of us who are saved today and provoke us, Lord, encourage us to stand true to the Word of God. But Lord, I pray that You'll speak to anyone that may be listening to me that does not yet know You as their own personal Savior. And Lord, draw them unto Yourself. Help them, God, to see their need of a Savior. And Lord, help them to come to You and call upon Your name and ask You to save them even today before it's eternally too late. Lord God, we love You. And we thank You for the truth of the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that You'll help us to stand faithful. Help us, Lord, to contend for the faith. Help us, Lord, to stand in the truth and righteousness of Your Word. And God, we'll thank You for what You do. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, thank you for joining us today for this lesson from our Sunday school lessons here in the Conqueror Sunday School class entitled Irrational Beasts. I hope that you'll join us next Sunday, same time, same place. And listen, folks, if you're registered to vote, vote for righteousness. Vote against sin. And let God become the God of America once again. We love you, and we hope to see you today at church. 10:45, 6 o'clock tonight, and then 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. God bless you until we meet together again.